I think we should. Yeah, I think we should begin or start. Members, we have to do it this way, having considered a few things late in the day yesterday, and apologies for that. Doing this way means starting off with the legislation before us. Can we pull it on? Good morning. As I was saying, we had to do it this way. This way means having to start off with legislation first and see how far we can go. Because having looked at the time, and also there was this other issue on the BRRR that was coming. So then a decision had to be taken that we needed to meet first with the committee, rather with the department on the legislation itself. And then we can look into the entity later in the day. Now, just a quick off-the-record session with Mrs. Stain, one of the members of the committee, indicating that we might not even take longer than anticipated. So we are now having to start at this time. As to how far we go, it will entirely be dependent on us, and also for us to be able to say we can deal with the entity later. So I just trust and begging the indulgence of other members, to understand the predicament that we are in. We had requested to which the PRRR matter comes in. We had requested a postponement, if you saw, in our program for the 29th, until the 29th of October. To an extent, as of, I'm also informed only now that, we have been approved. But as of yesterday, when this matter was raised, that we had no option but to conclude on the PRRR. But Thursday, as in tomorrow, right? Then we needed to move faster on the two at the same time. So those were the considerations for us to be able to now, the legislation before us, we had agreed that we need to move, on a clause by clause. Towards the adoption stage of this bill, which as we come to that stage of the adoption, I take it that the adoption only then that when we are to do that adoption that we would have to get a quorum. But as we do the clause by clause, we do not necessarily require a quorum. That's my understanding. Mr. Fonda?
Mr. President, it's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but if we go through clause by clause, we take it as done. So we, if other members come, we don't go back to any points then again on that issue. I mean, can we accept that? I mean, obviously, I just want to have it that we agree on it, that that somebody says, no, we still have to go back on this, and then it wastes a lot of time.
That's how it is done, without any question, and also without any energy, attached to it. that's generally how it is done, so that as I said, we do not require a quorum for such. Only when we are to adopt, a quorum is required.
I did say it will go fast this morning, but I just need one point of clarity again from the Father before we proceed. It's something that has also been made, came to my attention last night again about the recreational fishing thing, and maybe the Scotland doesn't have to respond now, but they could think about it and come back to us later, maybe in a plan and a writing and something that they need about in the new amendments. I was contacted by a tourism agency who deals with overseas visitors to South Africa, and they obviously read somewhere that we're dealing with this amendment bill at the moment, and they said that recreational fishing is causing a whole lot of problems with tourists coming into the country, because many people arrive at the B&B in the evening and then the next morning they on a boat to go out fishing, recreational fishing obviously. And they cannot find the permit then, because the person that needs to apply for the permit must be, you must go in person, and then you have to go to the post office, which only opens at 8 o'clock in the morning, and if you know, fishers go out early in the morning. So if it's just something that I think we need to look at, it is having an impact on our tourism industry, so that we can maybe have something in place, even if a person can leave these things with the tourism officers, so that they can send it to the people, so that they can apply and get it back, or something like that, so that we don't hamper. Most of the time, I'm sure they won't catch a lot of fish. It's not about the amount of fish that they catch or a lot of fish, but it's just a part of the event for tourism. So if I can just leave it in the department's capable hands, so that they can deal with that moving forward, and maybe in the meantime, see if there's something they can put in place in the interim. I don't know if it needs to change of the ball, or act itself, or is there something that could be changed through a regulation?
There are going to be a number of such issues, Mrs. Stein. I've succumbed to my passionate point I was raising related to protection of those small species. Precisely because of the fact that we're dealing here with this one specific one. There are a number of others that can, otherwise come by. What I would suggest you do, rather than coming and bringing others, we park all of those and then we can formally in a written form, unless or when we shall have time to review the whole legislation, only then that we shall have to raise some of those issues. But for now, there are going to be many. Mr. Pandela?
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, I've been inundated with emails and calls from people that are very agitated, and it's also about these 30,000 people that the days are going to be shortened and how these people are affected. It's a 15 billion rand industry. And they don't only go around what the people take out and what they sell. It's about the fishing tackle they buy. It's about the boats they have to keep up. And the money that the department makes on these permits and levies is about 35 million rand that they stand to lose, because these people will now not buy it. I buy a permit because I can go out to sea maybe once in the whole year to catch 4 crayfish, and then as a matter of urgency, we must deal with it, because it's going to cause a big upheaval outside.
Can I assist you? Can we deal with what we're dealing with here now?
Yeah.
And then find time, we're all here, with the permanent secretariat, and look at our program and see how best we take those issues. There are many of them, as I said.
But it's becoming urgent now, because it's been cut yesterday or today. Tomorrow it's going to be cut, and it's an urgent point.
The fraud that is ongoing with our people having to lose some of their fishing rights is not something that is about to happen. It has been happening forever. It is as urgent as that. That's the point I'm trying to raise.
Yes, I agree with you on that point, but I mean, this is an issue, it's a burning issue, we need to deal with it. Otherwise, we are going to send a message that we don't care about the 30,000 people. And if that is the message we send out, then that's the way we will deal with it.
No, let's not play those politics that we don't care. All that we're saying is, we are here saying to ourselves, we are dealing with this legislation now. Let's not be derailed. Let's not drag this process. Let us do that.
Afterwards,
we are agreeing that we shall have to make time and re-look at our program.
Thank you, sir.
That's all we are saying.
I agree.
Otherwise, we can come up and bring all many other issues. As I said, I have mine. There are many others. But for sake of us being able to move faster, because we're all talking about moving faster now, all of a sudden. Change of heart.
No.
Because we did not want this bill earlier on, now we want it yesterday. Now, we going to have, taking it that we are agreed that we shall continue, and once we are done, we are not going back. We have only one apology from Mr. Bele, who had indicated that he will be coming late, also with Mrs. Pius Muswane. She's also going to be coming late. Those are the only two apologies that we have. I take it that there was nothing that was added by the department. We still have the same original legislation. That's the one that we are dealing with. Nothing at all was done. Okay, members, without waste of time, let's get going. We shall then have to go through firstly the page that is your cover page. Any comments? It's tagged the section 75. The official language is English. It's a 2013 bill. We shall do that. But I'm just referring us to this cover page. Can you just stop to ask him?
Thank you, Chair President. Good morning, members. The tagging is still with the POs. I have written a legal opinion to process that that will be tagged as Section 76 bill. So it's still with the POs must all decide. I spoke to him yesterday. If the speaker should decide it either today, but it will definitely be decided this week.
Can we hear anything else from the legal people from the department? Tagging? State Law Advisor?
Yes, we
initially... Can we be attentive if you're not? Thank you.
We certified the bill and we indicated that it's a Section 75 bill since it deals with marine living resources, and we're still happy with that tagging. Indeed, 75, unless there are convincing reasons, I see no reason why to change the tagging.
Chairperson, in terms of the rules, the JTM is empowered to make the decisions with regard to the tagging.
I just dealt with a long time ago, as far as I'm concerned.
Not according to... I spoke to the office of the speaker yesterday, and the full decision so has not been made.
Can we... park that. And then we proceed to the rest of the document. If I remember that once we are done, welcome Mama, once we are done with this, we shall then have to come back to this issue. All right? This bill is Marine Living Resource Amendment Bill. It is introduced in the National Assembly, proposed Section 75. Explanatory summary of the bill published in Government Gazette number 36847 of 12 September 2013. The English text is the official text of the bill. Under the hand of Minister of Agriculture, Fish and Fisheries. Any comment on that? Save for one that we've just passed. Mr. Stay?
No.
Yes. Can we then move to page 2? General explanatory note. Words in bold type in square brackets indicate omissions from existing enactment. Straightforward one. Words underlined with a solid line indicate insertions in existing enactment. Straightforward one.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask, what will there be any comeback to this committee if we now continue and then afterwards we find this tag in the wrong section? Or it will just tag me, it will just change? There will be no anything. Okay.
The bill to amend the Marine Living Resource Act of 1998 so as to insert, amend or delete certain definitions to amplify the objectives and principles provided for in that act, to make provision for matters relating to small-scale fishing and for the powers and duties of the minister in this regard, to effect technical amendments and to provide for matters connected therewith. Be enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 18 of 1998. Section 1 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By insertion after the definition of sedentary species of the following definitions. Quote, small-scale fisher, unquote. Means a member of the small-scale fishing community engaged in fishing to meet food and basic livelihood needs, or directly involved in processing or marketing of fish, who, subsection A, why do we have A and A there? No, you have subsection A, one, Section A by insertion, and then you have another A.
Or the numbering of it. Yeah, you have two small A's in the same section.
Mm.
It normally goes from A to 1 and 1 and Roman back to A again.
Mm-hmm.
Chairperson, the first A is paragraph A of clause 1. If you turn the page, you'll see there's paragraphs B, C, D, E, and F. So those are paragraphs of clause 1. While the second A, B, C, D are paragraphs of the definition of small-scale fisher.
I see that. But it has a potential to confuse. You've got A, you've got another A. Mr. Dennis?
Honourable Chairperson, members, when we insert this into the Act, when it will become law, then the other A will disappear because that's just a guideline to what must be done in terms of the other of the definition. So there will not be two A's. It's just for the purpose of the bill that we have A, B, and C in terms of the clauses. But once we insert it into the Act itself, there will be no A there.
We rather do away with it now, so that we know exactly what we are adopting. What we are doing, as far as I'm concerned, we are adopting something that is going to be appearing.
Mm.
We're not adopting something that is going to be still subject, you know, to other things.
Thank you, Chairperson. Those are drafting conditions that cannot change. Can I propose, just for the committee's sake, that I can incorporate the changes into a document for the members to see what it would look like, as opposed to change? Because I mean, the problem we're going to have is if we take it in, it will not. This goes to the printers, and if we change this, the printers are going to affect changes to the principal act, which don't comply with what the intention of this committee is. And then we're going to run into major problems.
I don't hear you at all. Sir?
Chairperson, in terms of the rules of parliament, we have to certify the bill, all bills, the Office of Chief State Lord Advisors, to certify bills that they are constitutional and that they are drafted in the form and standards which conforms to legal practice. And this, I can assure you, is precisely the form and standard which conforms to legal practice. If we give other numbers, for instance, under the definition of small scale fishery, we put 1, 2, 3, 4, when this thing goes into the bill, this definition would look different from current provisions which are all numbered A, B, C, D. So this is in line with the form and standard which we follow.
Are we fine with that number?
Okay.
It can only be on the wisdom of our legal fundis, not there. A, traditionally operate in near shore fishing grounds. This is still defining what a small scale fisher is. Let me go back to it again. It means a member of the small-scale fishing community engaged in fishing to meet food and basic livelihood needs, or directly involved in the processing or marketing of fish, who A, traditionally operate near shore fishing grounds, B, predominantly employ traditional low technology or passive fishing gear, C, undertake single-day fishing trips, D, is engaged in consumption, barter, or sale of fish, or otherwise involved in commercial activity, all within the small-scale fisheries sector. And small-scale fishing must be interpreted accordingly. Small-scale fisheries sector means that sector of fishers who engage in small-scale fishing. Small-scale fishing community means a group of persons who are Roman figure 1, historically have been small-scale fishers, 2, have shared aspirations and historical interests or rights in small-scale fishing, 3, have a history of shared small-scale fishing and who are, but for the impact of water removals tied to particular waters or geographic areas, and where or still are operating, where they previously enjoyed access to fish or continue to exercise their rights in a communal manner in terms of agreement, custom or law. That was still fine? Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask for clarity on the inclusion of the words under, it's now be 1AD in the 15. If you engage in consumption, barter, or sale of fish, or otherwise involved in commercial activity, could understand. But what other activity could be out of the fishing that would not be covered under consumption, barter, or sale of fish? Why did we have to put in otherwise engaged? Would that be something like maybe taking people out on an excursion, or just for clarity?
Mr. Tess?
It could be also the issue about all of the related activities around fishing, like net building, fish processing, all of those things that we're talking about as other which is not either covered into the selling office.
Chair, that, just on that, would that person then also need a permit? Why? Because I understand that this is for the purpose of getting permits and being recognized. Would all those people then included in this then as being able to be registered, getting permits, being part of the small-scale cooperative? That's why I'm asking the question, because that doesn't make sense to me. If all those people then would be included, because then it will prohibit anyone that's dealing with any kind of activity around fishing, if that word is included here. I just need to clear that, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Let me just refer also, I don't know if the members have the small-scale fishing policy, because the small-scale fishing as a whole is defined, and maybe I just want to read some of those things that, and then I'll come to the specific question. It talks about ancillary activities such as pre- and post-harvesting, including preparation of gear for harvesting purposes, net making, boat building, beneficiation, distribution and marketing of produce, which provide additional fishing-related employment and income opportunities to these communities. Now, we see that small-scale, I'll talk to the issue about pearls now, but we see the whole, as we spoke, the whole value chain that it should be covered in that definition which we talked about in E14. The issue is that this doesn't exclude any other people to do it, and you don't have to have a permit to involve in boat building and so on. But what we want to do, capture, is this particular group of people that there is other opportunities that they can be involved in, so that you don't just restrict them to just the fishing part of it.
Are we fine for now? Mama?
Chairperson, I don't know about other members. The way they explain, I understand. I am fine.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Stay?
Chairperson, I'm just from the department. I just want to ask the legal committee, because we so disagree about unintended consequences, and a word or wording like this might have, maybe, you know, because I don't understand the full policy and thing, but is it going to be a problem if we take this wording out of the bill, or would it be fine if we leave it like that? Because it will be covered under the policy. We can't put everything in the bill that might have the consequences that we can't think of maybe now.
Can we hear from any of the legal?
Yes, Chairperson, as I have it, intention was to have a catch-all word at the end, but members, honourable members, must just keep in mind that paragraph D must be read in conjunction with A, B, and C. The and shows that it can only be a person who traditionally operates, B, predominantly employed traditional technology, C, undertakes single daily fishing trips, and D, engage in consumption, barter, or sale of fish or otherwise involved in a commercial activity. So in the first instance, all those paragraphs must be read in conjunction. Secondly, the word otherwise would be interpreted generically to fall in line with consumption, barter, or sale of fish. It's difficult for me to give an example. That's all I want to say at this stage.
So we are fine as is. Okay.
We are also now, we've asked some of our other lawyers to come, maybe just to assist further with the explanation. So, fortunately, they will be a little bit late.
Okay.
Can we just say it in pocket change for if there's something that they can have in response?
Then we shall go to B. By deleting the definition of the Sadarghan person of the word or at the end of paragraph C. we see that the other channels we want to have. We do have the principal echo.
Yeah.
So what this does, we do have the principal echo. What this does, it's going to take us in and out of the principal echo. So we better have principal echo. And the meaning of such. Where in the principal act again, quickly?
In the definition for African person in the principal act.
Where the definition
is? Right in the beginning, mm-hmm. Of the day. Okay. It should be somewhere on that page, or maybe the next page.
Should be page 12.
On the line
59. Sarugin person. But addition of to the definition of southern person of the word or at the end of paragraph D. A trust in which majority of trustees having been, is that? Okay, can you just read for us that, Stevens?
I'm just trying to look at something. Which one did you refer to?
C. On page 3 on the amendment. By the definition of the by the addition of the definition
the South African person
of the word or at the end of paragraph D. I tell you that paragraph D refers to
the E now. Yeah?
Or the D of this amendment.
Yeah. Because we are adding as a South African person, the issue about cooperatives, and that is just what we've just consulted now. Because of that act, we must maybe say as amended, because that act 2005 has also been amended. We don't say that, maybe the legal people must say, but I just wanted to say that cooperatives act now has been amended as we understand it. In 2013, which we said before. So, if you want to refer to a cooperative in a existing legislation, how do you do that?
No, before that,
yeah, but D, if I, Dennis, maybe, is that how we read it? D is to add, is going to be replaced by E.
Yeah. Can I maybe what we're doing here, in terms of the drafting of incident, there's a D to say one must go in, but if you go to the principal act, you will see we're in a D. So now we are inserting an E, which will be the cooperative. The last one is a trust on the D of the principal act. Mm. Then focus will come E in the amendment.
If I moves. The or moves down to E.
Yeah, or, and then it
yeah.
will be.
So it will be or, E. And the or moves down to the last one.
Yeah. You will see we have C on the principal where the O on the C. Now the O moves to D because now we insert
another paragraph.
Yeah. So that's basically what it is.
Convention. Yeah.
It's drafting convention yeah. basically what they
are. Are you fine from where you sit?
That's precisely the point. The O is moved from one place to the other place because of the new addition. So it's...
The new addition there... It is the cooperatives. Hmm? It is the E.
Yeah, E is the cooperatives.
Yeah.
That is inserted. Are we fine with the E, the cooperative registered in terms of the Corporate Act of 205? Act 14 of 205, of which...
No, that's not a convention. Don't put an F.
Of which all members are South African citizens, but where any member is a jurisdiction person, such person's principal place of business must be the Republic. Any comment on that? You've just said something, Mr. Sins, about the amendment to the Cooperative Act.
Yeah. But I understand by the legal people that the convention is you don't have to put that in that amendment. You keep that act. Maybe they can explain.
Are we fine
with that?
Yeah.
Because that's still the principal act, that
Act of 2005.
E, by the deletion of the definition of subsistence fisher, and F, by the substitution of the definition of the total allowable catch of the following definition. Total allowable catch means maximum quantity of fish or individual species of groups of species made available annually or during such other period of time as may be prescribed for combined recreational, small-scale, commercial and foreign fishing in terms of Section 14. Comments?
It's just this thing before we go to the title, can I just ask a question to the legal people? Because why do we have in certain instances the delete by the brackets and underlined sections including, and then in certain sections like this one, we have this long B, C, E to include all. Why don't we just put the whole paragraph and then delete and insert? I know it's a technical question, but I just want to understand it, because it makes it really difficult sometimes to understand and read these things in this way for us, because, you know, it's a convention for you guys, but why does it happen like that? Like in this case, Chairperson, they include something, but they don't include it in a normal fashion by underlining it. It is explaining it in a paragraph.
But when we started on that general explanatory note, you see those that they indicate that they're on top. The words in bracket indicate omission. Now, subsistence is omitted. Words underlined with a solid line indicate an insertion. So it means that small scale is inserted.
Yeah. My question is, you know, I understand that, but why can't you just underline total allowable catch and put in this idea to have an or explain it by B, C, D? Why can't you just put in the paragraph and say or and underline it? I'm just asking a question. I know it's a technical, silly question, but...
Just tell us your name, sorry, without always keeping you in the third.
My name is Herman Smuts.
Mr. Smuts, thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson, yes, the convention is that we try to limit amendments to the smallest possible unit. For instance, in this definition of total allowable catch, the only thing that changes is the word subsistence. So the word in the Act is bracketed out, and a new word is indicated. The reason being that if a court would interpret this, and you've underlined everything, that shows that there's a new intention for the Parliament to in defining total allowable catch, because they've replaced the whole definition. While if it's indicated like in the current manner, the court will see, no, the intention remains as it was in the past. The only thing that changed was this small scale, and it will interpret the provision accordingly.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's a typo. I don't know if my book is the only one that had it, but small scale isn't hyphenated. Has it been changed? Okay, I'm not sure that it's just a typo with the bold office, but then it doesn't need to be affected through an amendment. It can just be fixed up in our bold office.
Fixing.
Mr.
Smuts, you fine? You fine? Amendment of Section 2 of Act 18 of 1998. Section 2 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. Section 2 of the Principal Act refers to
pages.
This bill that I have has got 4, has got 8.
There's different languages, I suppose, that they're giving the other ones. Mm. The numbering of the pages, they skip 4
numbers
all the time.
No, it can't be different pages, because it moved from 21 to something else.
24. 4 numbers 3 times. I think it's a different language.
Okay. But different or not different, we're looking for section 2 here. Where do you find section 2?
Page 6. Is it
6? Yeah, put it wrong. Even this one. In what?
Section 1
I don't have a copy. Do we all have the copy? Section 2, what this amendment is saying, section 2 of principle is hereby amended.
Okay.
Where is section 2? The minister and any organ of state shall, in exercising any power under this act, have regard to the following objects and principles. So, this says by deletion of the word and at the end of paragraph I. Mama, I'm reading page 14 of the Principal Act. That page reads chapter 1, introductory provisions. That's a problem. Yeah, a bit, Mama. Okay, it's fine. Okay. By the deletion of the word and at the end of paragraph I. Paragraph I says any relevant obligation of the national government or the public in terms of any international agreement or applicable rules of international law. And I guess this because it adds more of those, So it's a very straightforward one.
Yeah.
And B, section 2B, by the addition of the following paragraphs on section 2 of the Principal Act, they need to promote equitable access to and involvement in all aspects of the fishing industry, and in particular to rectify past prejudice against women and other marginalized groups. And what could those other marginalized groups be? Do you understand whether you want to specify?
Youth and disabled.
Would it cause any harm if we were to add? So that was specific.
The problem is, I think that they try to cast the net wide. So if there's another grouping that they could include, maybe later on, that is also being identified as maybe the Khoisan or somebody else, just as an example, that they could include it in there. That if you say youth and you specify it, that it would exclude those people later on, and we have to come back to redo it again. I would think that would be, they would try to cast the net as wide as possible to identify people that were marginalized.
Mama?
The way to previously at a disadvantaged ones, it's not the correct one. Because when we say previously, we know what does previously mean.
Okay. You see, the issue for me here talks also to unintended consequences. But much as you are to say you want to, you might also have a scenario wherein you are confined to women as marginalized. And the unintended consequence could be that, yeah, but it does not mean youth. It does not mean children, to an extent. It does not mean people living with disabilities. It gets to be assumed. That's the issue I'm trying to get across here. We have an assumption that it is known that, you know, youth and people living with disabilities are part of the marginalized. So it's an assumption, which can also have its own unintended consequence of having to marginalize them further. Mr. Singh?
Chairperson, unfortunately, it always becomes a problem if you start with, say, excluding and including people by adding with, it would actually have been better if there was nothing in there, as far as I'm concerned. Because that is the kind of things that needs to be put in a policy. I think we all understand that the small-scale fishing community, and it was mentioned under the wording of small-scale fishers and the inclusion of that definition already. This becomes a problem if we start mentioning groups in the sense of exclusion of others, because if you include something to say that it must specifically focus on the women and other marginalized, it immediately implicates in any case certain people will be excluded.
Yeah.
So, Chairperson, I would leave it like that, because then it's up to the discretion of the department, which I also actually don't like in the first place, but at least it's something that we can find if it's in a policy, and the description of a policy then, because policies you can change. You don't have to come back to Parliament in that long process. So if there's a group that feels very aggrieved because they now can't be part of this because they are not seen as marginalized or a women group or whatever, it's something that they can come to Parliament easy and toy about this and we can change it with pressure on the department. So I would prefer that we leave it like this chair. The more we mention names, the more we exclude other people. Marginalized can come to us and marginalize us and tell us they need this and we might change it easily. So let's leave it like this. The more we include words, the more we exclude people. That's how I feel.
But the person, we need to be clear before we adopt this. What does this mean? I mean, it is important to get a reassurance that says marginalized will be explained maybe in the regulation of somewhere here. So we need to be reassured rather than adopting a blanket phrase which doesn't become clear to us.
Because in the policy, it does not, there is no definition in the policy.
Can I maybe suggest to bring, I think, the two viewpoints? I think we specifically highlight the issue about women because of the past prejudice in the fishing industry against women. So we wanted that to stand out specifically, and it's in line with the Bill of Rights also. The other, maybe we must, in definitions, and I wanted to ask maybe if the marginalized groups can be defined in the definitions part. I'm not sure if
I think that will assist us going forward.
Yeah.
And we need to add in the definition a section that deals with marginalized. Who constitutes marginalized?
Yeah.
Mr. Roda?
Chairperson, it's so very difficult to define what a marginalized group is, particularly when it comes to a bill or an act that deals with a particular community. Because one cannot determine, going back how many generations, who was traditionally, because of custom or because of tradition, part of a community that did or did not get rights and then were abrogated those rights during a vote. So difficult to determine that. And to, as the member correctly pointed out, to try and define it would exclude another group potentially. And also secondly is, if one looks at Section 2 of the Act, these are principles, these are really principles that the minister must take into account in the determination of rights. So in exercising any power under Act, the minister must have regard for this. So, I mean, these principles she must, or he, depending on the minister, must take into account to the entire Act and not just, yeah, for the small scale. I mean, it's very difficult to try and define what a marginalized group is. And I would advise that the committee not try and define that in the Act.
If we are going to go through to J of Section 2, they need to restructure the fish industry to address historical imbalances and to achieve equity within all branches of the fishing industry. That's what you have in the Principal Act. Because that historical imbalances, it talks to all those marginalized groups.
When you drafted this particular provision, it was specifically to point out in the policy, for instance, women are referred to 40 times, and there's a whole number of paragraphs devoted to women, specifically in the fishing industry. So when drafted it was to say, when you look at issues in the small scale fishing, bear in mind that the role that women need to play. So that's one of the things which guides the decision makers today. The other one was that we also need to be aware of the need to look at youth, disabled people, but we put them all in line with the Bill of Rights, so we will look at modern people, but that may be other groupings, as explained by some of the members there. We may have missed, because in fishing it may not only be the marginalized in terms of youth and disabled, there may be other groups that we are not aware of. So that is casted widely enough to say, when you come across any marginalized group that you need to look at, take care of them, then you look at this particular objective and principle. But the important part why we have highlighted women is because in the policy itself, the fishers are saying, you should look at women because 40 times they are repeated in different ways. To say they must be highlighted. And that's the only reason why they are lifted out in terms of the principle and the sector.
I'm fine. Only that one would have loved to, you see what is happening in our country more and more. You know, the youth are becoming the, you know, a lost, you know, marginalized group. In so far as a number of these policies that we are adopting, it's assumed that, you know, youth shall be covered. And more, you know, there is a trend, you know, I would have loved, you know, to say women, youth and other marginalized group. And in fact, if I were just to say, what would it have costed us if we were to have mentioned specifically? Just a very short, you know, discussion. It's women, youth, and people living with disabilities. It is there on J, Section 2J, on the Principal Act. It talks about historical imbalances there. Mrs. Parson, you had your hand before, Mrs. Ting.
Now you have said after something else, what did you say, Mr.?
Section 2J, morning, morning, welcome, welcome. Of the principal act. Chapter 1, introductory provisions.
Good morning, everybody. I apologize for coming late. We were busy with the BRRR correctional classes. Chairperson, I want to come to the point that was made about you. When transformation or the RDP was put in place, the first groups that were addressed was the previously vulnerable, historically previously vulnerable groups, which is your youth, your disabled, and your women. We must just phrase the word to cover both the three groups, then isolating and putting the groups into isolation, because then we will not cover what we have said since 1994. If we talk transformation, then we talk the most vulnerable groups, that we must not exclude the disabled, because if we are going to focus only women or focus only youth, then we will exclude the most vulnerable, which is also the disabled chair. I just wanted to add to what Chairperson was saying. I thank you.
Mr.
Singh? Chairperson, yes. When you read all of this with Jay already, it says the need to restructure the fishing industry to address historical imbalances and to achieve equity. That's what I'm saying. As far as I'm concerned, that section must even be left out. But I would agree that we leave it in, but then we leave it, because if we then say women, then we say youth, and then we say disability, people living with disabilities, which I agree is what I think this whole fiction needs. But there might be other people that we must not know of, and maybe later there could be other groups coming up, and then we might exclude them. So, Jefferson, I would be happy that we leave it exactly like it is, and that we ask the department that to make sure in their policy that they specify the women, youth, and disabled people specifically and concentrate on that.
Ms. Polis. Oh, Mama, I feel so sorry. Chairperson.
My colleague has already said that we know the previously marginalized, who those people are. And even though maybe they don't say the words doesn't say those people, youth, women, and disabled, but surely those are the marginalized people.
Mama?
Chairperson. Historically, previously disadvantaged means that just that. In this sector, remember we are busy with fisheries. And in the fisheries sector, women was not acknowledged. Youth was involved, but very unfair as child labor, which was problematic. So when we say we are busy to redress that, we must push in. Jay, as it stands, I agree with my colleague that historically imbalances must be kept there. The equity, why it is there? It's because there was no equity in this sector, Jefferson. Equity was not acknowledged. We also must acknowledge that. But we just want to include, and it must be specified, and it must be highlighted so that it cannot be excluded anymore. It's the youth and the disabled. It's just to add to that, Chairperson.
You know, I've dealt with a few of those. I think we are on track. I've dealt with a few of those that have been disabled through their fishing activities. and a number of them have cut their fingers and legs and whatnot and whatnot. I think it will not harm us if we're to insert those two words. Then we can still leave there and other marginalized groups. In other words, include the women, youth, people living with disabilities, and other marginalized groups. You still want to say something, Mr. Seppel?
Chairperson, historically marginalized groups. Historically, Chairperson. This is about redressing.
Which section are you referring to?
The very same one. It is saying historically imbalanced. We must not keep out the word historically. Because
we're reading the amendment. We're reading the one you are quoting is the Principal Act.
The one you were talking about.
Yeah, that's Principal Act. Mrs. Day?
Kirsten, it is exactly this one and that group and that group that I wanted not to have. If we say, and then other marginalized, it's an overkill, Jefferson. I think we leave it like it is. We ask the fisheries department to make specific reference. They also said that women was a specific target because they were never part of, and we were just told that youth at least were part, although then not in a correct way. But I think we leave it as it is. If we start including, the more we include, the more we exclude. That's how I feel, Jefferson. So I think the section that says J, historical imbalances in there, and then the next one that focuses specifically on the woman that does not exclude other groups that feel that they have been marginalized. I really feel strongly that we don't overkill this section, we leave it like it is, and we move on, Jay.
There are two ways of doing it. We either specify or in our definitions we be specific. In our definitions we be specific as to what we mean when we say marginalized groups. There we talk about women, youth and people living with disabilities. In the definition. Yes.
Yes, sir. Can I refer you to in the small shrimp fishing policy on page 16 in my put it refers in B
in
yeah it's page 16 I think
my he doesn't have a B
it's the objectives of the policy. It's maybe true that the numbering is going to be no, it's in the small fishing policy.
It's on page 23, objectives.
Yeah, the objectives. Then I think B, no, we cover, B covers to promote equitable race, gender, disability, access to and benefits from marine living resources, taking the historical background of the fishes into account. There's one option. Or the second one, which we, if you look at section 19, we are supposed to publish regulations, and that strong issues can be covered in using that B in small scale fishing policy to cover this specific emphasis that is placed on. It's about race, gender, and disability in historical backgrounds.
Welcome, Mr. Tola.
Yes, Chairperson.
You wanted to say something?
Yes, Chairperson. I'm not trying to confuse the meeting, but it stands here to promote equitable race, gender, disability. It doesn't cover what Honorable Padis are saying. Because we need to be very specific. Who are these people that we are talking about?
I propose that, again, we have two options. We're either specific in terms of the amendment on page 3, section 2, campaign, the need to promote photographs, festival and so on, against, to rectify past prejudice against women, youth and people living with disabilities. Or, we don't even include that, we say marginalized groups, but in our definitions, we specify one of the two. Because you see, the assumption, as we speak now, but what you do here from the department, from time to time, as we engage with the department in its work, whether it is annual report or it is or APP, the department says they also have a program on youth. But we hear very little of that. Again, the point is, easier said by word of mouth, written somewhere, than the actual work being done. And to an extent that we don't have much activity within the department on youth programs that talk, whether fishery or agriculture or any such activities. So there are those two options we have, whether we don't even bother about whether it's women or youth or so, we have the marginalized groups, and in our definitions we specify. Or what would it cost us if we were to specify and say youth and people living with disabilities? And women are already included. Mrs. A? Noted, Mrs.
Chairperson, I'm totally against putting marginalized groups and then specify it under definition. Then we will make our own definition of what a marginalized group would be, and I don't think it's up to this committee to do that, Chairperson. I still stick to what I've said. We leave it like that because if we say women, youth, people living with disabilities, and end there, we, as I said from the beginning, there might be other people that could feel that they are marginalized. Not that I can think of any, but there might be. Or the elderly, just take a stupid example, I won't do it, but I've lived in the freezer for my life, not near any dam or recreation. I can come up and say, well, I never had an opportunity. I'm just making a simple example of what happened. And as I explained earlier, if we leave it like that and we ensure that it's in a policy which could easily be changed and we don't have to come back and have a fight to change an act later, this includes everyone. It doesn't exclude. The more we specify, the more we exclude people. So I'm so sick to leave it like that and definitely not put it in a definition check.
Mrs. Pinson?
Chairperson, fact of the matter is the small-scale policy, official policy that the DPG was reading now is giving us detail. But we cannot argue that we are going to exclude. We are talking here historically disadvantaged. And specifying women, youth, and people with disability means just that. That's why we are saying we cannot leave out the word historically. And the DGD has clarified that to us, reading the policy, what the clause in the policy, what the policy is saying. But to say that we must just leave it like that, otherwise we are going to exclude people, it's not the truth. It's misplaying what we are saying. It's taking things out of context. The context is, children, it's women, and I will keep saying that. It's youth, and it's people with disabilities. That's the three vulnerable groups. You can go to any department. You get the three vulnerable groups specified as it is specified in the small-scale fisheries policy. And that is what we are saying here, Chairperson. It's not about excluding anybody in South Africa. It's but about redressing the imbalances of the past in this specific sector, fisheries. Thanks.
Without having to open any dialogue, I think we need to move forward. Otherwise, we have been on this one for almost 15, 20 minutes now.
Chairperson, can I just ask my honourable colleague, I'm not fighting. I said, we agree, not saying we must add J, which includes previously disadvantaged. It's in there, it's not even on the discussion. I would just ask my colleague if she would agree that old people, people that's living on disability grants would be a marginalised group. Can we also include them and then we can go on and add and add until we think we have enough? Or we can leave it like this and leave it in the policy because it's specified in the policy. So what I'm trying to say is we have learned that you have to put as little as possible in an act because the act is there for years. It's difficult to change. The act must be there to give guidelines and to be strict on certain rules. We can then include as many marginalized, as many examples, as many things that we want in the policy that will be at the end of the day the guiding, the tools that the department would use. We leave that as it is and we move on from this point because we are not disagreeing. We are agreeing. We agree that all those people that was mentioned must be in there, but I'm just saying the more we include, the more people are excluded, and we need to add maybe other people that we can't think of now, and we might exclude people that we can't even think of at this moment.
The challenge that we have now is that there is no fundamental difference. To an extent that you were to say include youth and people living with disability does not pose any fundamental. That's the point raising. And yet, on the other hand, exactly following what Mr. Stein is saying, the policy, it be enhanced because the policy talks about promoting equitable access to and benefit from. It includes also race, gender, and so on. The policy will also have to be updated so that it also defines as who those marginalized are. That's what the policy must also do. So we do not have any fundamental issues here that we are dealing with. So all what you are saying in a nutshell is that on page 3, section 2, K, we are adding there to rectify past prejudices against women, youth, and people living with disabilities.
And other marginalized groups.
And other marginalized. Now you define the marginalized, all of them, in a policy. To understand, there shouldn't even be an issue also of even defining them, even in the act itself, as part of your decisions, because it makes our life easier rather than having to refer people to the policy. Because people shall be having this law and they will have to be referring to the policy which they may not have at any given point in time. Mrs. Pash?
Chairperson, I merely asked you to rephrase the context and come again because I'm getting lost. I'm really getting lost.
Mm-hmm. On which aspect?
On the aspect of transformation. Mm-hmm. We are talking about transformation and I will never be apologetic about that.
Mm-hmm.
We will not apologize if we are busy with transformation, etc. And the reality is the marginalized historically groups in the fishing is the women, it's the youth, and it's the people with disability. We must specify it. It is specified in the policy, in the small-scale fisheries policy. That is going to be implemented because it's all about that policy. We are adding value to the policy to be implemented. That is why we are amending this bill. So I can't see who else will be excluded. So I don't understand what is the argument all about.
I want us to go back to the bill itself. Page 3 again. The bill there says amendment of section 2 of Act 18 of 1998. Are we on that section? On the bill itself.
Yes.
the one before us. On page 3, section 2, amendment of section 2 of 1998, that was up there. What we are dealing with here is a matter. Can our legal people say something very briefly on this one?
Chairperson,
can we start off with Mr. Smith?
Chairperson, if the committee decides on inserting the words that you used, I would suggest that it be inserted as prejudice against women, the youth, persons with disabilities and other marginalized groups, instead of having a definition. A definition would necessitate one page through the bill and first go and look what does marginalized mean. So if I agree with your proposal, or the format of the proposal, that the words rather be inserted here. That is if the committee decides on it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ultimately, it's the committee to decide. I agree with my colleague over there. But the effect of what my colleague is saying, I mean, you could fit in, I mean, if the committee decides that they want to specify youth and persons with disabilities, that is fine, but it will fit in other marginalized groups anyway.
Mrs. Patterson?
Then I want to be told who are the other marginalized groups. I disagree, although I'm not a legal fundist. Because the marginalized, historically, mere marginalized group, historically women in the fishery, it's youth and people with disabilities. Who are the other mere marginalized groups? We cannot have a vague content. Who are the other marginalized? Because these are the marginalized groups that we are identifying. And we are identifying them aloud. Because we don't assume. It's not an assumption. It's reality. Practical. It's reality. It's not theory.
I'm going to make a ruling here very soon. Let us hear you, Mama.
Chairperson, I want to say I don't understand the argument here. Why are we stuck? Because, you know, in South Africa, especially this bill we are talking about, we know who the historically marginalized people are. We know. But now, what are we arguing about?
Members, I'm ruling that we include prejudice against women, youth, and people living with disabilities. Okay?
And do we take that up?
Yeah.
So we take that out of marginalized.
Then can we move to section? Oh yeah. Then can we continue with reading?
Can I?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do that, I would insist that we keep an other marginalized group in there.
Yes.
And I'm not making a bill for today or tomorrow. I want to again caution and read section J that's already in the bill that speak about historically imbalances that are exactly in any case speak about K that we have now included to specify it. I would be happy if we leave the words at other marginalized groups in there. I cannot think of anyone else, but it makes it open so that we don't exclude people that we might not be aware of. Chairperson, not only for today, but also for future purposes, so that the bill doesn't have to be changed again next year when we come back with amendments to include it again.
Mr.
Oh, I'm giving you a tough time, Chairperson. Who are these marginalized that we are talking about? Because we are talking about the three that we all know of. Who are these that we are saying must insert in this bill that we amended?
Okay. I've taken a ruling that we're mentioning those three, and that's it. Now, can we move on to section 2.
Chairperson, can we then just note our objection to that specific section in the minute?
Okay. I don't think it's fundamental, really. So, then I'm moving now with the reading. The need to recognize on L, section 2L, the need to recognize, now this is adding to the Principal Act, chapter 1 on introductory provisions, on page 14. There it talks about minister and state organs shall, in exercising any power under this Act, have regard to the following objectives and principles. There are 10 of those. What this bill seeks to do, it is adding three of those other objectives and principles. So we are now, we've just dealt with the first one. The second one, the need to recognize approaches to fisheries management which contribute to food security, socio-economic development, and alleviation of poverty. Yeah, the alleviation of poverty. There's a typo there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Smith.
Yes, sorry, sir, it is indeed a typo, but if it's okay, the Commission will insert a proper amendment in the list.
Okay, is that straightforward, typo? We're fine with that?
Yes, sir.
The need on M to recognize that fish may be allocated through a multi-species approach. Also another straightforward one. We're fine with that?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stay?
I just want to check, do we have a definition of multi-species, because that was one of the things that was that came out of Professor Butler's introduction, that multi-species might have another definition internationally, and if we put something in here, it might mean something in different fishing communities.
A quick response on that? Welcome, Ms. Abram. Any quick response on that, on the multi-species, Mr. Jen? Mama?
I don't know. Multi-species approach, multi-species, it doesn't mean different fishes. It doesn't mean that. It means that. No. So, what are we going to specify now? Because it means different fishes.
Let's also hear from the department. Thanks, Mama.
First of all, Jefferson, there's a definition in the small scale policy of multi-species approach. So it's the approach that we're talking about, and it says means an arrangement where a predetermined variety or mix of marine living sources are harvested or caught. That's the one. But also multi-species approach, I'm now mentioned six times in the policy as well. Different stages, and it's basically said that we must recognize that the sources may be allocated from multi-species approach. It's not a matter of if there's going to be any confusion. The policy is very specific. It talks to multi-species and the approach to that. So there can be no confusion with the international term and what is meant in terms of small-scale policy. It's merely been, as the honorable colleague is saying, maybe saying that you allocate a number of species to a fishing community. So it's a multi-species approach that we follow instead of a single species allocation as we've done in the past. That's really what it means.
Mrs. Pallis or Mr. Pandal?
Chairperson, we come from a history where the traditional fishers were having an open season of 1 week, and then for the rest of 6 months, they must live with what they have got in that 1 week, which is not even a 3,000 rand. Out of the species that they have caught. So the multi-species accommodated in the small-scale fisheries is addressing that different species, because it was only when, it was only, I want to stress the word only, for the historically disadvantaged fisher folk, that they had only to go and catch one species, and it was the traditional line fish. After that, they can't, if the season is closed, it's closed for them. And that is what we are addressing here, Chairperson. And the budget is helping them, and that comes out very clear in the public hearings. Because those people are the hungry ones, are those who are paying the brunt of this, and that is why we are transforming.
Mr. Pandara?
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, the question I would like to ask is like in the presentation of Dr. Butterworth, who is a very clever person, I mean, he might be clever because the department uses him to determine certain things. So what is the difference between more than one species and multi-species? What is the difference in wording? It's potato, potato. It sounds to me like the same. But there must be a difference if we can point that out. Why would he ask for something to be said more than one species instead of a multi-species approach? Why would that be?
Mr. Stein?
Chairperson, can I please ask you to assist us here? We are not trying to be difficult. We said that from the beginning. Please. I really feel like I'm being intimidated and attacked by asking questions. It is our job to make sure that we understand everything I said from the beginning. We just had a long fight about a word that we all agreed on. And I want to ask clarity on what does it mean, because there was a presentation that made me worried about the word multi-species, although I understand what it means. I understand also the reason why we want to put it in there at an approach for that, but I really need assistance, Chair. I cannot feel like I'm being attacked if I ask a question as if I don't support it. I'm asking a question because of the legality of what we are going to put out there in Parliament so that we don't get back on technical stuff that could be challenged in law. That's my job. That's what we need to do here today, Chair. So I really want you to assist here. We are not trying to be difficult and say it can't happen. We don't want this to go on. We need to understand it. And if one section is then in the policy and we've just agreed that we will change a section of the Act, which in any case is explained in the policy, but for the next thing that I'm asking clarity on, Chair, because there could be another meaning out there on multi-species approach, and we don't clarify that, it's a problem. So really, Chairperson, I want you to assist here. I really need us to make sure that this Act is passed, and that it's passed and with no comebacks, so that there is a legal thing that will take us back and keep us here for years and years, maybe not passing this law.
The department has come back to us with a definition there, unless we are questioning that definition. Means an arrangement where a predetermined variety or mix of marine living resources are harvested or caught. That's what the definition on the small scales policy is telling us. Mama, Tala?
No, I was saying, Chairperson, I think that definition, I agree with you, it's straightforward. I think it's straightforward. Is it?
Mama, sorry, Mrs. Paliso, and then Mr. Abram, and Mr. Singh.
Chairperson, Professor Butterworth, input, as an input, like the masses that were there. And the masses, 100%, the masses agreed with multi-species. The public hearing, 100%, those who are active, they are active in the small scale. They are active in subsistence. They were giving us the practicalities. And as it is stated here, it is very straightforward. Nothing to argue about. Nothing to be not cleared. It is clear, crystal clear, Chairman. So we agree the way it is phrased here. Thank you.
Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I am guided by a statement made by the Speaker some time ago, where he cautions parliamentary committees to be very careful when legislation is approved. My problem basically is just this, Chair. Is the policy overriding the Act, or does the Act override the policy? If I could be told that, Chair. Anybody here, the legals, can they tell me? which is subject to which. If the policy is subject to an act, then Chair, we must help to remove ambiguity. I wouldn't like to see a situation where I am part of lawmaking. We're not all 100% legal brains. But I would like to be part of something where I have a bit of a doubt. If that doubt is clear, you see, Chair, if this is a definition, my argument is, if this is a definition in the policy, and what is in the amendment could lead to ambiguity, then we should rather take this definition and make it part of legislation, so that all ambiguity is removed. Now, that's all I'm asking, Chair. I've got no argument about anything else. It is just, you see, Chairperson, when this becomes law, and Mr. Fredericks and Mr. Stevens find at the moment something, it needs to be amended. That amendment won't come here in one day, and it's approved, and it goes through all the processes. And it's again a long haul. So once we are working at this, let us rather do it properly. Now, I would like to understand, Chair, which is subject to which. If I could get that reply, it would help us.
Thank you, sir. Can you just quickly get a quick response to that specific question? This is a question that deals primarily on the definition, and the definition is on the policy. You can just get a quick one. Mr. Dennis, can you just off your mic? Thank you. Can you put it on that one?
I'm talking general terms, but policy is normally made in terms of other legislation, so it's subordinate legislation. And it can never override primary legislation like an act of parliament. Mm. So the act of parliament would prevail if there's a conflict. Mm. Although the policy would inform an act. In other words, if a court should interpret the act, nothing prevents the court from looking at the policy to try to shed light on what the act says. But eventually the act, prevails.
Okay, so we have a definition in the policy. So this definition assists us in this legislative process. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, can you just quickly on that one?
Yes, Chairperson, it doesn't work.
You can switch off, Mr. Avra.
Sorry, Chair.
You can switch off. Thank you. I think the issues are straightforward. Mr. Padala?
Mr. Chairperson, I have a problem. That if a professor comes to this committee and gives us advice, and the advice reads that multi-species approach, the fishing department have to allocate... I'm sure they have read it. Have you read it? The problem that arises here is that multi-species is a term generally used with a very specific meaning in fisheries internationally. It refers to taking technological gear effect and or biological predator-prey interactions into account in setting management measures across a range of species. Thus, these words would most likely be read as a promoting an ecosystem approach to fishing through taking such factors into account in scientific analysis concerning sustainable catch calculations and the allocations of such catches among species. This, however, does not seem to be the intent of the clause from the background comment provided, which suggests rather wording along the line. And then he gives the wording along the line, which this professor thinks is the right wording for this bill to get what is necessary for the bill to... So, I don't want to argue with the professor's opinion that is involved in setting the TAC. This man, it's his work to do that. And if you agree with it or not, I mean, we must give recognition to it. If he represents 1 or 10 or 100 people, and if other people disagree with it, you must listen to it, because the bill says that we will catch sustainable fishing, and if we threaten that in a bill, then there's a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Then I will oppose this bill.
Mama?
Chairperson.
Sorry, Mrs. Stein, Mama. After this, Mama.
Professor is not the almighty God. It's a person who can make mistakes. And why should now we bring a professor inside this place? We are dealing with why do we need professor? What professor said? Whereas we are dealing with the bills and the FCA. It's not the almighty God. He can make mistakes.
And last one, Mrs. Stein. Then we shall move after this.
Chairperson, just again, I said it in the when at the presentation before us. I'm trying to protect the fishing community, and I want to make it the same example again. We have been dealing in the land reform portfolio with the land reform. The land reform we all agree with. There's an act. The Constitution speaks about land reform, there's a Restitution Act. We all agree on land reform. And then suddenly, the portfolio became aware that the land reform policy changed. From giving people title to the land to giving people a rental. It's a policy that changed. So my concern is, Chair, would this be strong enough to protect the fishing community? If the policy can suddenly be changed, the wording, and I want the legal people to assist me here. If we don't all have the same idea on the wording, what will happen if policy change? It's still like this, that, but the policy changed. And then suddenly that definition under the policy changed. No one can have a fight then, because the policy changed and the policies can be changed easily. So that's why I want to ask this question, Chair. Will this wording, multi-species approach in the act then, protect if suddenly someone decides to want to change the definition in the policy? That is all that I wanted to know from the beginning, Chairperson.
You wanted to say something last, and then we can round off the discussion.
With all due respect, Dr. Bartholomew is not a legal person. He's a mathematician. He was for a part in terms of doing mathematical analysis. And when you look at the policy, one of the principles of the small-scale policy is that we have a multi-species approach. Now, when you look at Dr. Bartholomew's response, he only looked at multi-species. He forgot, dropped the approach, because this is about the approach to how you're going to do allocations. So when he responded to this, we didn't go into the specifics, but let's do it now. What he is doing is dropping the most important word, and that is the word approach. And what this principal objective is now recognizing that when we do allocations or the minister's allocations, we must take into regard that we need to allocate possibly via a multi-species approach. So his response is not entirely correct, because when you look at what he's saying, he referred to different things, but when you look at his draft changing the whole meaning of what is in the small scale policy. He now says there's a possible need. Now, there was never a possible need. There is a need. Because that's one of the mainstay principles of the policy. So first of all, if you look at what he's suggesting, there's no possibility. There is a need. That was determined by all the role players when they drafted the policy. Second part, we have already agreed that we will not give them one species because it's not sustainable. We must give them more than one species. So the need to say one species is not even relevant in this context. Then it's rather to a single species only to certain applicants. This is specifically focused on small-scale fishing. And for them that we are saying, for you there will be a basket of species. There will be another process for commercial fishing where you still have single species allocations. But for this, when you look at what we are trying to achieve in terms of the principles and the objectives, we are saying when you take any decision, you must be reminded so that small species must be engaged in terms of a multi-species approach. And that's why when you go through the policy, it's quite clear. And even one of the principles of the small-scale policy is saying the need to recognize a multi-species approach, which Dr. Doug Butterworth continued to adopt. It's not about multi-species, it's not about the word multi-species, it's about the approach that we will adopt. So his summarizing or his summation of what the term is incorrect in terms of the policy.
That reminds me of one scholar of Marxism who was having an argument with one professor, And this scholar was not your typical literate in terms of academic. And what the professor ended up doing, he ended up literally speaking sociology instead of speaking scientific communism. So, yes, the professor is fine, but here we're dealing with the real issues that are affecting our people. And that's what science is about. So I think the issues are straightforward. The definition is there on the policy, the legal policies have clarified us of the meaning and impact in which policy vis-a-vis the legislation is concerned. To an extent that it suffices for us to move forward so that we are okay. This insertion is informed by the policy. Remember, this whole exercise is about applying the policy. It is about implementation of this policy. So that's what this exercise is about. Just keep it in mind again. And the definitions have been specified in the policy stuff. So I'm just wondering whether we cannot on those bases move forward. You are interested, Mr. Brown?
Dear person, just remember, lawmaking is an arduous task. I have a view, and I want to put the view on the table. My view is that in the Act, which is being amended, remember that what we have before us is a little basket of amendments which will eventually be inserted in this Act as one whole Act. That's how I understand it. Now, the Act, original Act, may have a provision, I haven't read it, the original Act. I only got it this morning. May have a provision that certain things are subject to a policy. You see, Chairperson, where you must be very careful is that a policy can always be changed. It does not need parliamentary sanction to be changed. And therefore, you have a full basket of conditions in the Act. Now, I don't know whether this argument is mundane or not, but it could become mundane. If it is going to be a trench mesh, if we don't have a clearly defined, a clear definition of a multi-species approach, then I see nothing wrong, Chair, in we putting in the definition what a multi-species approach would be. Alternatively, Chair, there is also nothing wrong, as far as I can see, where this amendment, Section 2M, could lead to the effect that it would be a predetermined variety or mix of marine living resources that are harvested or caught. Then it is clear, it is concise, it cuts out all forms of ambiguity. Remember, dear, tomorrow, someone else may decide. When I say tomorrow, it can be 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Someone else can decide that the policy is no longer feasible, it must be changed. And this word multi-species approach disappears. There's a new policy now. But the Act, if we amend it as it is now, would read multi-species approach. So therefore, Chairperson, the safest way out is not just to say, let's get on. Safest way out, Chair, is to be very sure of what we're doing. And I want to strongly suggest, I have no ulterior motives, Chair. I want to make it very clear. I was accused of having a vested interest in agriculture. I have no vested interest in fisheries. I'm merely trying to see that the legislation that lives here is as far as possible near perfect. Nothing is 100% in this world. And all I'm pleading for is that we either create space here amongst definitions under M, multi-species approach in the definitions, in the Act, in the Bill. Then you've got it there. No policy can change it. Only an Act of Parliament can change it. That's all I'm asking for, JL.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Chairperson.
Chairperson, as it stands here, and as it stands in the policy of the small-scale sector, it is crystal clear. And as it stands here, Chairperson, it's correct. Here, I don't even want to motivate why I'm saying that. It is correct as it stands here, Chairperson. It is correct as it stands in the small scale feeder reform. It is informed by the history. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chain, last one? Oh, yes, sorry. Mr. Andala?
Yes, Mr. Chair. You know, we are a committee and we are deliberating on a bill. So I can ask legitimate questions. And if I'm not allowed to ask legitimate questions to a person, if you had just allowed me, Mr. Frederick, to answer the question, it would have been clear as daylight to me. But I'm being screened down, and every time I just ask a question, I'm being intimidated in making up my mind.
By whom?
By the other members of this committee. But when I ask a question, if Mr. Frederick had just answered the question the first time, then it would have been clear that we wouldn't have needed this whole discussion.
Okay.
But surely I'm allowed to ask a question to the officials, or not?
Go ahead.
Or is it the political questions to ask? Or to ask if what is the meaning of a word? You know, so if I'm not allowed to do my deliberations as a member of this committee, then I don't want to be part of it.
What were you referring to specifically?
The multi-species approach, or the more than one species approach. That was a question. It was a simple question. Somebody raised it in committee. Surely I'm allowed to ask something about it. And the official must be allowed to answer. Is that what I asked him?
Can we have one last round from the department so that we can now conclude on this matter and move forward?
Maybe I just also wanted to reassure the committee. These three additional principles and objectives must be read in conjunction with the other 10. Because some of the concerns that is raised by Professor Batumut are covered around the issue, which I think Honorable Member van Dalen also raised, around issue about sustainable management of the resources. If you look at the principal act, some of those, there are three objectives which are mentioned there to deal with the issues and the concerns that is raised about the ecological sustainability of the resource. So these three additional objectives, and the specific one, as Mr. Frederick has explained, I think in our view, that issue about the multi-species approach is a fundamental principle and objective that must be there to ensure that we give effect to the policy. And the concern that is raised by Professor Batumut, maybe I must just read quickly those three. The one says the need to achieve optimum utilization in the ecological sustainable development of marine living resources. That's an objective and principle. The need to conserve marine living resources for both present and future generations. The need to apply, which is a key both in the existing in the commercial sector, but also in small scale, the issue about precautionary approaches in respect of the management and the development of marine living resources. So I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. It does cover the risk concerns that has been raised for us to include the multi-species approach. Thanks, sir.
That then closes our discussion on this matter.
For the record, can I just say that it's a pity that no response has been given. Nota bene,
no response has been given to a suggestion that what's changed in the policy in terms of what the definition of multi-species approach is, that that be included in the definitions of the Act. No response has been given to that.
Yeah, but the legal people did say something about that.
They did not say, Chair, that they cannot put it in and give reasons for it. If they cannot put it in, Chair, give me reasons, it might convince me. This is not a law that you're creating for a day or two. Thank you.
Members, we are done with this aspect. Thank you.
I hope that my concern is then placed on the record, Chair.
Can you speak on being recognized, Mr. Commissioner Mann?
Chairperson, you have said how we are being done. So before you carry on to the next one, Chair.
Can you speak when you are recognized? Thank you, sir. Mr. Stein, we are proceeding. You're raising an objection.
My question was not on the chair.
What was the question quickly?
Question, Chairperson, I wanted to ask the legal people, if the policy, the definition of the policy is changed, and it stands like this, will it, basically exactly the same what Honourable Abrams asked, will it not strengthen the policy if we put that definition in the bill? Because as I explained, anyone can change the definition in the policy, and then what then? We are trying to protect the fishing community. So that we put it in the policy. I can't see also why we can't just put that definition in the policy.
The fishing communities are protected already with this proposal in this amendment. We have heard them saying they have literally been living on one species. We did ourselves go to Hamburg, wherein at Hamburg they had only an abalone to catch for the whole year. What this proposes is a basket of a number of other species. So that's what is happening here as we speak now. Mrs. Twala?
I agree that to the president, but let's apply our minds here. Mm-hmm. Let's apply our minds and not be carried out by emotions. That we are South Africans here. And what we are doing for the people who came to us and told us their stories, their pathetic stories. We are doing this for the good of those previously disadvantaged. So let's not be carried out by emotions. Let's get down to business and apply our minds. That's all that I would like to ask here.
Okay. Yes, Peter.
Yeah. Chairperson, I would support Honorable Twal. And also appeal to us as members that we need to respect the chair of this committee. See, Chairperson, as an observer, if a member is speaking, we don't allow a member to finish what she or he is saying. Just raise our head as if we're raising a point of order. Some of us have even not been asked by you to talk. I don't think it is correct. We need to run a meeting in the manner that are supposed to be run. And also respect you as the chair. Thanks, sir.
Okay, thanks for all of that, members. We are proceeding. We are now on the amendment of Section 14 of Act of 1998, as amended at Section 1 of Act 8 of 2000. Section 3. Section 14 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection 2 of the following subsection. Quote, subsection 2, the minister shall determine the portion of total allowable catch, the total allowable effort, or a combination thereof, to be allocated in any year to small-scale, recreational, local, commercial, and foreign fishing, respectively. the subsistence has since been omitted there. This is what this people legislation is proposing. Are we fine with that?
Sorry.
Mr. Brown?
I want to place on the record that the department has not given me any reason as to why the definition that I have requested can't be put either into the definitions or wherever it could be passed, so that whatever act is then accepted and passed will be crystal clear. They have not given me that response. I want that to be placed on the record. Thank you.
We are moving, we have moved in fact. Sorry to have allowed Mr. Abraham to talk on that issue.
I may not address you.
Yes, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We have now moved to that section. Any comments? Are we...
This one is straightforward.
It is.
Yes.
Can I just get a very simple one from the department? Amendment of Section 14 of Act 18 of 1998 as amended by Section 1 of Act of 2000. What does that entail? Is amendment of Section 4 of 1998 and also as amended by Section 8 of 2000.
This that section. Oh, the principal is that section has been amended by a subsequent amendment act.
Of 2000.
Of 2006, Act of 2000. If you look at the principal act, I don't know if yours says it, but mine says as amended by the Marine Living Resources Amendment Act, 68 of 2000.
Oh, no, it does not. No, that's fine. Okay. No, that's clear. Okay. Amendment of Section 18 of 1998. Section 18 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection 1 of the following subsection. No person shall undertake commercial fishing or subsistence as taken out, small scale replaced, fishing, engaging mariculture or operating fishing processing establishment unless they rise to undertake or engage in such an activity or to operate such an establishment has been granted to such a person by the minister. There you are dealing with an omission of subsection, of subsistence, and replaced by small scale. It's straightforward as well. Do you find that? Page and page 4, substitution of section 19 of Act 18. Mr. Pandala?
Yes, this mariculture, does it mean that somebody with a fish tank at home that is doing sea, having the sea reef, I've had a complaint from the reefers. Is that the mariculture part? That if you have a fish tank at home, you can also... I read in the paper that somebody was arrested because he had a fish tank at home and he didn't have a permit for that. Is that this mariculture part that you are talking about?
It's farming with fish in the ocean. So it would need to be in the ocean.
Yes, there's a regulation dealing with aquariums and keeping fish in fish tanks, and you need a permit in terms of the regulations issued by the Act itself for recreational purposes. So that's part of regulations issued under the Marine Resources Act. It's not regarded to be mariculture. Mariculture is a specific culture of fish. It's aquariums. We put your little thing in a tank. But you're not allowed, for instance, to keep lobster and those kind of things, small fish, at all. They also bring it in terms of that.
Okay, thank you for that. Members, we must also remind each other again that much as we are dealing with amendments, members are also free to inquire on any other subject like Mr. Pandalin is doing, but without having to take much of time. It is clarifying. Because if we are to take that route, it shall mean that we are literally looking at the legislation on its own. That is now the whole principle. No, I understand. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to guide members as we move forward in this process. That those areas that are underlined with bold, they are an infection, and those that have been on the bracket, they are omitted, in other words, taken out of the amendment. Mr. Abram?
Thank you, Chairperson. In line with what you've said now, that one can ask whatever, is it permissible for a member here to ask the department a question and insist on the reply? Is that permissible?
You see, you ask me a very ambiguous question, Mr. Abram. Because you would have been assisting everybody if we were to be very specific.
You're asking me to be specific, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I had asked a specific question whether something could be inserted in definitions. I have had no response as to why it can or cannot be done. That leaves me in a position where I cannot contribute meaningfully towards making up my mind as to what would be the best legislation that would come out of the interaction there. I believe, Chair, that questions asked of the legal people. I'm not a legal person. I'm ignorant, and I would like to know. I have had no response.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Swara?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Dr. Abraham was not here when that question was answered. The department did allude to the fact that we can add to the definitions whatever is not clear in the bill. I think it was addressed before you came. But then, I don't think there is any problem in that.
Thank
you. Mr. Bell? No, thanks, Chair President. I don't know whether I heard very well when Mr. Fritz was responding. I think she did say something about what Honorable... I'm sorry. This has made you laugh for a scene. Yeah. He did respond to what Honorable Abram has asked. He did respond. He may respond again because he stuck to what is there in this moment in his response. Thanks, sir.
Do you want to repeat? Very
no, sir. It's also because I felt a little bit that the Honorable Member felt that we are reluctant to respond, but we are governed by you as the chairperson too, because we are your guests in this meeting. And I think I just want to add, I think the legal people also respond why some of the challenges around adding definitions. But I think the detail, Mr. Frederiksen perhaps, what is the thinking around, and Mr. Smuts and the legal people can respond to that particular matter, so that we can put it to rest.
I can just maybe say this one thing. I take a legal advice with regard to where we should insert the definition of multi-species approach. And I wasn't told there's a convention that the word only appears once in the act, you normally don't define. That's why it was not defined as such. I also want to raise maybe something which people have been raising as an issue. Once we put that principle in the act, it's actually better than having it in the policy, because now you actually have the protection of the law that we are obliged to respond to that. So what we are actually doing now is giving legal protection to that particular principle. But this is why it was not defined, was specifically because there's last name convention, and it's only appearing once in the Act, because it's the first time that we're now putting it into this Act. It doesn't appear in the Act at all. So therefore it was not defined. If it has appeared maybe more than one or three or four times, we would have defined a normal drafting convention. But for now it was not done. But I want to say we're giving now legal protection to a principle that was only a policy which is not in the law, but now we're giving no power to the principle, and I think that's the protection that I think everybody said before.
Okay, you find...
Chairperson, you define a word to prevent repetition, to expand the meaning, or to limit the meaning, or to give it a totally new meaning. In this instance, multi-species is not defined in the Act. That means when a court interprets this word, its first question it will ask is, what does the dictionary say?
Yeah.
What is the ordinary meaning of multi-species approach? And that means different kinds of fish. So I'm happy with the provision as it stands.
Okay, page 4. I think it will be fine now.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Chair, you see, if I look at the Principal Act, the Principal Act has got a multitude of definitions. Can I have the assurance that all those definitions only appear, that all of them, that there are none of those definitions, that appear once only in the Principal Act? The only assurance I want. Thank you.
Okay, members, we are on page 4. I say that we are moving forward. Substitution of Section 19 of Act 18 of 1998. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 19 of the Principal Act. Small-scale fishing. Section 19, subsection 1. The Minister, in order to achieve the objectives contemplated in section 9, subsection 2, if you don't mind, as we go through, you can just of the amendment,
yeah,
of the bill.
To clear my mind from the department, that when we start with marginalized groups, they did give us a motion that it can be put in the definition. So it is different from this multi-species one. What is the difference? Just want to clear my mind.
No, I think maybe I remember what Honorable Ntwala said. It was when you raised the two different chairperson, the options, and I think that explanation that was given then that the drafting conventions would not comply with the drafting conventions of legislation. So that is where it was defeated, that approach. So that we, because that order only comes in once in that. And I think you made another example of it just being an objective which doesn't affect the meaning, the extent of the changes that we're requesting. So I hope just clarify, because I think it was when we had this debate about the options that you've raised, Jefferson.
Can we be guided by Section 9, Subsection 2? Section 9. What we are doing here, members, if you can concentrate, I beg your attention. The Minister, in order to achieve the objectives contemplated in Section 9, Subsection 2. What Section 9, Subsection 2 says, the Minister may, by written notice to any other person, that he or she deems fit to be an honorary marine conservation officer, appoint that person. Doing so may specify the powers to be exercised by such a person in terms of this act. And substance and section 39. No, this refers to the constitution,
not to the principal act.
Sorry.
It refers to section 9.2 and 39.
Yes. Section 9 of the constitution. What are section 9 of the constitution?
Equality.
Equality.
It talks about the Bill of Rights. Everyone, equality includes the full and equal enjoyment of all rights and freedoms, to promote achievement and so on. And also section 39, subsection 3 of the constitution. What does section 39 say? Again, it talks again to Bill of Rights. Subsection 9, Bill of Rights does not deny the existence of any other rights or freedoms that are recognized or conferred by common law, customary law, or legislation, to an extent that they are consistent with this, with the Bill, as in Bill of Rights. Are we clear on that? By 19, subsection A, must subject any law relating to marine protected areas, established areas, or zones where small-scale fishers may fish, may within a prescribed period organize a community to be a small-scale fishing community if the community meets requirements contained in the definition of small-scale fishing community. May declare any other fishing or related activity or exercise of any right or of access in an area or zone contemplated in subsection 1, subsection A, to be prohibited. Is it straightforward? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Chairperson, it's just to go back to 19.1, where it is the minister in order. It confuses me again, Chairperson, with my original question, and why do we sometimes just delete and subtract in other cases? Because if you read it too with the original book, it starts in any case, 19.1 starts with the minister may in order to achieve. Now we just have the wording the minister may in order to achieve. The minister may in order to achieve the objective. It doesn't look to me, if I read the insertions, that it stays constant with what you do. Because are you just deleting the whole section, and why do you just... It's technical again. Why do you just have it as an underlined section in this one? You are just taking that whole one out and put it in there. Okay. Then I'm happy with that shape, because it just doesn't look like consistent in the way that it's been done. But if you say it's fine, then I will have no other question on that.
May we move?
Yes, yes.
The minister, in order to achieve the objective contemplated and so on, must prescribe on D the process and procedure related to the allocation and the recognition of all right of access to small-scale fishers based within small-scale fishing communities. Procedures to be applied in the allocation of those rights must prescribe the management of the right of access, must prescribe the criteria or time and timetable for recognition of small-scale fishers and small-scale fishing communities. We fine?
Yes,
sir. May prescribe any ancillary or incidental administrative or procedural matter that it is necessary to prescribe for the proper exercise and performance of powers and duties referred to in the preceding paragraphs. Number 2 of that 19, no small-scale fishing right or permit shall be transferable except with approval of and subject to the conditions determined by the minister. And the last one of that, section 19, the minister in any state or other organ of state shall have regard to the need to incorporate a community-based approach in the allocation of rights of access within the small-scale social sector. Comment? Mr. Stein?
Chairperson, can I just ask what the wording and any organ of state mean? Would that be like all municipalities, all departments, state departments? Can someone just guide me on what any organ of state means?
Because there are some functions that is performed by, for instance, by Servelo, KZN Wildlife, in KZN. So I think the reference was to those kinds of organs of state, which is a statutory structure, which work with us in the fishing industry. Maybe it can determine, we work with municipalities also, we work with provincial governments and so on. So it can be any organ of state in that broad understanding that we have.
Okay.
And then just the last follow-up question, Chairperson, on this one. It is now written in this bill that only a community-based approach will be followed, so that there will be no individual rights to any people, if it's written like this. That is the question that we had in the beginning. If we're taking away individual rights from any person that now wants to be for under small-scale fishing, it's not only policy, but it will be then written in law that it will be only community-based approach, and what will happen to individual fishing rights if this section is in the bill?
This, if you read section 19, it specifically speaks about the small scale fishing, but in section 18, the principal act, it talks about the allocation of rights to South African person, which is an individual, a company, a close corporation, a trust, and in that definition we have added now a cooperative also. So this specific section, if you can see the heading, it says small scale fishing, it talks about that sector. It doesn't talk about the local commercial sector where that essence would be there. And that's also, I think, how we've explained that the policy of the small-scale fishing speaks about that two streams of, or roads that I've explained.
Are we fine? Want to come up with the very last one?
Chairperson, this is the last thing that I really need to get clarity on. In fact, it will then mean that no person as individual will ever then qualify again as a small-scale fisher. It's really, to me, it's a fundamental thing, because this is how I understand this section, this 19C3, because it's
can we,
in the policy of small-scale fishers.
I can just maybe say this. If you look at the small-scale policy, it has prescribes basically a mechanism and a procedure for the allocation of fishing rights. And that's why this regulation is so carefully that we need to identify fishers that will be part of a fishing community that will then register that community. And once we've done those processes, then we will allocate a right to the community-based entity, which will then, in this case, be a cooperative. So the policy itself, goes so far to say it's a paradigm shift from how we've been doing business in the past, and it gave us a long background as to why we need to build a cohesiveness within the communities, get all these negatives in there, because what we've been doing with the other system, we've put it brothers and sisters and cousins and whatever against each other, because they are all the same fishes, but one would have received a right and the other one not. And so at the end of the day, there was a lot of mistrust and fighting and infighting in the communities. And this policy that drafted by the creators themselves said, we don't want this anymore. What we want is to go back to how we know we can be. We can be a cohesive fishing community that takes care of ourselves, and we can live with pride, and we are capable of doing this ourselves with support of government naturally. So the policy itself indicated to us how these rights must be allocated, and that was agreed upon. So, but what we're doing here which gives rise to that, it doesn't mean we exclude anybody else who wants to be anything other than a small scale fisher. But in fact, we are protecting small scale fishers because now they will all be included. It's not like one will have and the other one not. Everybody is supposed to benefit from what's going to happen in the small scale fishing allocations. So we are saying this is more inclusive than ever has been in the past. So if the small scale fish, if they meet the criteria that we are putting out in the Act, if they meet the criteria, they should be accommodated. That's what we're saying. So we cover customs, we cover people who are fishing for organized, we cover all of those things. And we're saying, we give you the right that you have, you should have access to, but in the reason of that, we're going to support you with alternative license because we are free aware of the implications of what we're doing.
Is that please, Honorable
Yes, so what will happen to somebody, say, that is in a community? I think you have to be more than five people to be in a cooperative, I think, under cooperative law. If there are three people living in a community that also now under the... exclusion rights is... yeah, they have those exemptions now. Will they not be accommodated? Where will they fit into this? Will they not be also seen as small scale? What would they be seen as?
Look, can I hear
I think it's clear we must read this with the policy. Yeah. You can create, we can create the scenarios of those three people. The first step that we do is to identify in, and we have worked out 160 fishing communities in the country. So even in these communities, we will independently verify who is a small scale fisher compliant to the definition of that small scale. So now we will have a database of all of these people. Take Outback, for instance, there are 169 fishers now there. Now if three of them say, no, we don't want to be part of this communal thing, of course they can't then qualify because they work against what the policy says. But they have the right, as I've tried to explain these two streams, to apply for a fishing right as an individual or as a company, as a CC, but they don't qualify for this stream of the Mikey of the small scale fishing. Because you have to be part of a group, and we are working out part of the regulations that will be published is to say, how will that cooperative or communal right be constituted democratically? With our support, with DTI support. So that process will then take place. It has already started where communities have organized themselves, and you've seen some of them in the public hearings. So, but you can't be benefiting from this policy and then still wants to not comply with all of the principles that is in the policy. The good thing, and I think this is a fair approach, where we have said this is, you have a choice. We have even told people now, you still have a choice to apply. No one is prevented. Even if you think you are an interim relief rights holder now, or permit holder now, you can apply for this road of the trolley, of this competitive road of local commercial. But if you are successful there, you can't also be benefiting from this road. So it is completely a different approach that we have had in the past. But we are trying to balance so that you look at the interest of the existing industry, but also now to give legal effect and development and empowerment to the small scale fishers on this road that we're talking about.
Okay, Chairperson,
I fully understand the concept behind it. I also accept and understand the policy. I understand and accept the communities that came and made the presentation. I really have a fundamental principle objection to this. Because we start this section off with, and I think Mr. Stevens knows that I kept on asking this question even in and out of the last 2 days in the presentation. Because we start this off by 19, the minister, in order to achieve the objective contemplated in section 9.2, which is equality, equal rights, bill of law, all your individual, you free and whatever. And then we ended off by saying, you must be part of a community-based organization. To be clarified, this is a small-scale fisheries community. I'm really having a problem that you put it in an act. because it excludes people. And I understand it. I really, and I know that this is basically the basis for adopting this bill. But I asked it the other day, and I want to ask it again here. Will that not be challenged under the constitutional, the constitutionality of that? Because although I understand the basis, the principles, the ideas behind it, can we not get a constitutional challenge on this specific section? Because no one else will ever be then classified, and I'm not talking of policy now, I'm talking about a legal act that we are putting in place now, could ever be classified then as a small-scale fisher, like can be classified as other. Maybe that is why I looked at it in my mind, it's almost the same as Stormgate. As long as it's another route that we can take, you will be fine. I really wanted a legal assistance on this thing. Will we be fine as covered because there is another option and route for people to take? And will they have the same kind of equal, I would almost say, protection and assistance then under subsistence farmers or not subsistence, recreational farmers than they would have on the small scale. So if you can just help me on that one, I will be fine with it because it's from the beginning for me it was I had a problem with the constitution on this one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want just to bring the attention to us that in the public hearings, people are remind us about the Equality Court ruling. The Equality Court orders that compel the state to finalize a policy framework that will effectively accommodate traditional and subsistence small-scale fishers within the allocation of fishing rights. I just want to take us back and remind us about that. It was already in court and the court ruled in favor of the historically disadvantaged fishers. Thank you, Chair. Now your department can respond.
If you look at the new section 19, the first sentence is also in the current act, referring to the constitution. And it was in reference to the subsistence. Now when we developed policy with the committees, they told us that they no longer want to be subsistence. In fact, I have been petitioned by a lot of people to say we don't want to be the state where we can just basically do nothing. And when the policy was discussed, everybody said we want to be regarded as small-scale fishers. So that's the first point. That's why we say, also our idea is that small-scale fishers should not necessarily be kept there for the whole of their lives. There must be a way for them to go. And this section 19 provides for that. So in terms of constitutionality, we are comfortable that we are in line with the constitution because we have provided for other user groups to have access to resources via particular processes, which are fair and open and transparent to everyone. So we are comfortable from the department side that by allowing people to come into this community-based allocation grouping and where people have a choice, and this is what is important, nobody is forced to join a group. It's their decision. In fact, when we explained the policy to them, we said to them, even the guys who have existing rights, the current right owners, the small scale guys, you know, your near-shore fish and lobster guys, they ask the question, what must we do with our rights? We said, it's your choice. If you want to join, the policy says, then you become part and parcel of that one. If you don't want to join, you go the whole road, and when your rights expire, then you must compete again like anybody else. Because then it's a competitive process. The one for small scale is not competitive. We want to give them rights. We want to support them. We want to develop them. And therefore, it must be in a different context. The other one, they will never be able to compete because of illiteracy, because of all sorts of things. This one says, we will assist them. We will even help them compete in the application forms because there's no competition. What we want to do is make sure we reach the correct beneficiaries. And this is what Section 9 is all about. And we're comfortable that there's no constitutional challenge.
Substitution of Section 24. Substitution of Section 24 of Act 18 of 1998, Section 6. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 24 of the Principal Act, Reduction of Rights. Section 24, the Minister may, in respect of any fishery, determine after consultation with the forum that the portions of the total allowable catch and total applied effort, or a combination thereof, allocated in any year to subsistence, which is replaced by small scale, local, commercial, and foreign fishing, and rights granted in respect thereof shall be reduced. Is that clear? And then we go to short title. You want to comment on this section 6? Or should we pass?
I think
we agree. And then total short title and commencement. Section 7. This act is called the Marine Living Resource Amendment Act of 2013 and comes into operation on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. So, what is the next thing?
Okay.
So do we agree now?
A quorum. That
so, while the chairman, while we are waiting for the chairman, advised here that we need to table all the amendments and agree on them before. Yeah, before we agree on the bill, we need to agree on the amendments. That need to be tabled. So are we tabling them now or? Or we need to type them out, to type them first and then they are given to the members? I need to be guided. No, must be some fun. Chairperson, I don't think this is a critical thing to do. We can table them now. That is my thought. From state law advisor.
Chairperson, I can read the amendments to you. It's only three. There are only three. But I'm in regard to procedure, I'm guided by the committee section and the parliamentary law advisor.
Okay.
But I can read you the amendments.
Okay, thank you. Baba Aran?
Chairperson, I just want the committee to be very cautious. It would be advisable that only amendments be placed before the committee in writing. And that those amendments would then be the amendments that the committee would approve. The reason why I say this, Chairperson, Honorable Whip, is that you must obviate any possibility of a comeback. So be very careful. That's all I want to advise. If my advice is acceptable, it will add to the progress and it will add to us having no comebacks. If it is not acceptable, well, you then must live with it.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, Yes, we're at a stage where now we have agreed up to this far. But the next step was to get the amendments. Not being read, the committee feels that they need to be tied and then have what they see read to them and then we proceed. The state law advisor has agreed that he has no problem with that.
So it means that we need to break and then come back when?
Just before the next meeting this afternoon.
Mama?
I just want to find out how long it will take for...
With the assistance of committee secretary, we can have it in 15, 20 minutes time and duplicate it.
Because I'm trying to, it's 12 o'clock now, I'm trying to see if we cannot just do two things at the same time, wherein we go out for lunch and then come back at some 30 minutes time. I'm also trying to catch on that as well. The reason why I want us to come back soonest, it is because if we can do the ARC and the NACHA earlier, rather than having to do a 5 o'clock, because they had made arrangements that they shall be here and leave out of Cape Town today sometime. That's what I'm also aware that I have two other meetings over lunchtime. Maybe let's break and come back in the next 20 minutes. After 12. Can we do it in 15 minutes time for real? Okay, we're breaking for 15 minutes, we're coming back, eh?
One time.
Yes. Quarter past, we are back.
Thank you.